Readers Entertainment Radio presents Booklights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Booklights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I can't believe it's August. Oh, my gosh. But this is my birthday month, so it's all good. Shout out to all the fellow Leos out there. Hope you guys all have a great month. And to kick off August, today we have Charles Brakefield. He is half of the Brakefield and Berkey partnership writing Cozy Mysteries. I can't wait for you to meet him. If you haven't read his books before, I will read his bio here so you can get to know him. Charles Brakefield works as a data telecom solution architect and supports digital security, blockchain solutions, and unified communications. He enjoys writing, studying World War II history, travel, and cultural exchanges. Charles loves wine tasting, cooking, and Harley riding, often provides writing topics. Much of his personality comes from his father, who served in the military for 30 years and three wars. Charles grew up in multiple bases and different countries, and the multicultural exposure helped him with various character perspectives that they bring to the series. His personal ambition is to continue to teach his co-author, Berkey, humor. Brakefield and Berkey together build stories as fictional story writers. Storytelling is the best method to share excitement, thrills, and insights to today's technology risks. I did put a link to their website right there on the Blog Talk site. So if you want to check that out, you can sign up for their newsletter. They have information on all their books and short stories and audiobooks. There's all kinds of information up there. So be sure to give that a click. And without any further delay, are you there, Charles?
I'm there, ma'am.
All right. Great to have you on today.
Good. Thank you. And before history rolls over, may I say happy birthday month coming up.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. It's a good one always, so I'm happy. So you have a new book coming out. It's on pre-order right now, called The Killer Enigma. You want to tell everybody about it and why they should run pre-order it?
Well, if I could, I'd like to give a little bit of background information about why we stepped out of techno thrillers and moved off to cozy mysteries.
Okay.
And it started with we're part of a group of highly spirited authors, and the lead renegade author threw out a challenge one day that said, "Hey, quick, guys, I need some material for my blog site. Here, everybody write me a story about, 1,000, 2,000 words, something like that, on this picture." And it was just a simple, single-hull boat sitting on the mud someplace, and he said, "Write me a story. I don't care. Put it in your genre, your terms, and then send it to me." We had so much fun doing that that one of the overachievers said, "Hey, why don't we take this up another step? Let's go ahead and build our own city." Our own city called Magnolia Bluff. And in that city, we'll build our own characters, our own character universe, our own story threads, and we'll share characters back and forth, and you can pick up some of the story threads and then camp onto them like we've had done with our book. And so there were nine of us last year, and the first book that we came out with, so it was book number five, it was The Flower Enigma. Well, we got invited back again for this year's, and that's what The Killer Enigma is about. And so, it's a multi-author, authored series, everybody with their own point of view, their own perspective, character set, if you will. And it's given us a lot of fun exercises. It's a cozy mystery, the classic definitions. So what we did is we took a couple of our characters from our techno thriller series and brought them over. They're trying to get away from the paparazzi and their daily lives out of Brazil. And so they got advice to go to this little town called Magnolia Bluff in the Texas Hill Country. And in the first book, they stumbled into some technical threats and some really awful bad people that nobody knew were running around. So they helped, they basically become urban legends in the first book. And so we bring them back for the second book, and it's the same problem. You know, they're trying to get away from the, she's a supermodel, he's a high-tech dweeb out of, that works in the cyber threat security arena. And they're just trying to get, you know, go have their first anniversary. They're trying to get away. And doggone it, they figure, you know, here's a chance to be able to go back. We'll go back to Magnolia Bluff because lightning never strikes at the same place twice, right? Well, it does. And so it was another fun exercise. And we've actually had an author after us. She said, "Hey, can I borrow the B&B bed and breakfast owner so that I can use her in my story?" And we said, "Sure, just, you know, but the rules are, don't whack one of my main characters." Okay, we actually had that problem in first year where we're riding along, we got this character that we borrowed from somebody else, and then he came through and said, "Endless, a thousand pardons, endless apologies, but I cracked that character so you can't use him." I'm like, "Ugh, oh, wait." So we had to go back and do a little bit of surgery on for that character. And so there's a little bit of give and take, and there's some you have to shop your characters and say, "Okay, I want to, you know, if you want to borrow this one, that's fine, but here are the ground rules for it." So it's kind of an evolving puzzle. But in The Killer Enigma, which is we'll have available for release August 20th of this month, and it's another experiment in cozy mystery with people who don't expect that they're going to step into another horrific set of circumstances, and how it unfolds is how we write. So that's what we got planned for this release.
Fun. And I wanted to ask you, what was your inspiration behind this pairing? Because you have a supermodel and a cyber crime guy, it sounds like. Is he a detective or?
Well, in the cyber world, yeah, he is. In our techno books, it's the cyber good guys versus cyber bad guys. But everybody needs a break from their day job. And so he's like, "Okay, I don't want to look at a computer. I don't want to do this." But, you know, invariably it's like, "Well, break out the computer. Let me figure out what's going on here. Let me help do the detective work." And he's well-liked and so is she. They get in the first book, they have problems with the they're trying to just, you know, keep a low-key because they don't want to, you know, call attention to themselves. But they step into a series of problems that basically puts them in harm's way. And then when they're attacked, it's personal for him. So that's where he gets the reluctant hero gets switched off. It's like, okay, now I'm going in full bore.
Right.
And in this next book, basically it's, we're coming in, we want peace and quiet. We don't want to have a lot of hoopla. And because of the splendid stuff they did in the first book, they walk into this the bed and breakfast, and it's like packed with people with well-wishers and just like, "Oh, we're happy to see you again," you know, hugs, kisses, and he's like, come on, you know, really, guys?" And so they try to navigate that, the story kind of builds from that standpoint. I mean, it's a lot like what Stephen King once told me. He said, "I like to build, and you should wait, but you should build your tension. Start off with that, you know, the outdoors, the wonderful, kitty cat, collie dog, 1.2 kids family kind of thing. And then once you've got all of the angelic stuff put in place, then turn loose the monsters."
Well,
now,
it's
true.
When you dreamed up the series, have you always had the same two main characters for all these books?
No, characters grow, they evolve. We shuttle people in. There's characters that are like, "Okay, that's as far as we want to take that character."
Okay.
yeah, thought process. I mean, we had the 12 books in the Enigma series, and then we started a second series called The Enigma Heirs, and that's in parallel to the Magnolia Bluff Cozy Mystery series. So we're exercising our writing muscles, if you will, trying to do better, try to tell more engaging stories in different genres. We don't have very much tech in the Killer Enigma, and it's got a lot of tender moments. We've got some a couple of funny moments where we've got calling 911 and having the explain the problem to somebody and have them disbelieve what the issue is was one of the fun chapters that we had. It's not all tension all the way along, but there's tension that builds in background.
Okay. Well, it sounds like your background is in a lot of tech and that kind of thing. What was your writing journey like? Did you always want to be a writer, or did you get the writing bug later, or was it your writing partner who said, I need you to come help me write this part? What did your writing journey look like to being a published author?
Well, it's curious because she and I met. She actually hired me at a job way back in the dark ages of the tech industry, and we bumped into each other in multiple companies. The one where we started beginning of this century at Norto, we were actually consultants for in an outbound capacity, and you go to these companies, whether it's the distributor or the end user. They say, hey, what's wrong? Tell me what I need to do to fix it. We do the analysis, and then the natural delivery item is a white paper. Here's the recipe for fixing what you got that's wrong. Yeah, it uses a lot of my technology, but here's some of the other stuff that you're going to have to get. Well, we were doing that for several years, and then she came to me one day and said, hey, we got this company that wants us to build some tech manuals. I went, okay, what's that look like? So, well, it's like the white papers, only it's on steroids. Okay, we'll do that. And so we did two of those. I should tell you right now, the problem with doing tech manuals or any kind of technology white papers, they're almost out of date the day you publish them. That's why you see the
right?
Second.
Yeah, it all changes so fast.
Yeah. Yeah, 14th edition, 15th edition. They're trying to keep it current. It's like, so I was a little bit miffed, I'll be honest. So I picked up my marbles and stomped off and said, I don't want to do this anymore. And a couple months later, she circles back and says, okay, all right, new deal. How about we do fiction? I said, fiction what? Well, high-tech fiction. We use actual technology that we see day in and day out. Some of the weird stuff that you get, that you have to troubleshoot. And I went, okay. We use fictional characters. We do fictional stories, but we have technical facts baked in. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, plus, we get to kill people, not go to jail. And I went, whoa, there's the clincher. All right. I'm in.
That sealed the deal for you.
So by 2012, we were rolling out our first technical thriller, and then because we're in the high tech world, it's just a conveyor belt with the problems coming through. I'm like, okay, here's the new technology. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. Okay. Then look behind the hood. Ooh, gosh, this looks nasty. How do we fix this? Because the bad guys are always ahead of the cyber good guys, always.
Right.
And so it's always a struggle trying to get ahead of them. That's what you read about the, places like the pipeline on the East Coast or Solar Winds is like, well, they got in and we are toast. So we didn't expect them to attack us that way. All right, let's go back, take a look, fix it, and go forward. And then, that's all they have. They have nothing else to do except, trying to get into your knickers, and it's a shame, but there it is.
Right. Well, when you started writing this, did you have any idea you'd be doing it 10 years later?
Well, what happens is that, you know, we get one done, you know, and it's, you know, bring it to market and do all the neat stuff to go along with it, you know, fluffing and preening. And then an idea will hit us, and the four most terrifying words in our language is, I have an idea, okay? And so whichever one of us springs that on the other one, yeah, that's when we start, you know, that the other person starts shaking and quivering, and like, you know, then it's time for a hot toddy, and some muscle relaxing to be able to steady your nerves, and then say, all right, give me the idea, what do you got? And so we'll script it out. We use a spreadsheet to be able to capture the possible chapters, maybe some character development on the side, and then we use our patent-pending technique of literary ping-pong for being able to bat it back and forth, the chapters, until they're finely polished and honed so that you can't tell who's writing. And that's key for us, and it's important for whatever. You read it, and it's like, who wrote this? Even my editor comes in and says, who wrote this? And I'm like, yeah.
Well, that kind of dovetails into my next question. I was going to ask what it's like having a writing partner when you guys are doing this. It sounds like you both write and edit everyone's words, right? Is that how you do it?
That's right. Yeah. It's like, okay. And it's actually a benefit to have an astute colleague like Rox Berkey working with me, because, you know, I'll write something and she'll go, Charles, no female on the planet would ever say that. Come on, wake up here. All right. So it's like, okay, all right, maybe I'm a little old school, and all right, I can be taught. And every once in a while, she'll say something, put it in print, and I'll go, oh, do come along. No male on the planet would say that. They need more masculine-sounding words like dozer, pipe wrench, two-ton semi, stuff like that. And she'll look at me like, I'm not sure you took in your meds this morning, Charles. So, you know, let's.
I love that. Do you guys ever argue about where you think a story should go?
We don't really argue. It basically, it's a debate. And then it's okay, here, put forward the argument. Here's what I believe could happen. And sometimes it's a false start. And sometimes I think we can make this better by fill in the blank. So it's a crafting exercise so that it's not just, everything is perfect all the way down the line, because that's never how it works for us anyway. Because what happens is sometimes the characters will, you know, sit up and say, no, I want to go this way. They'll actually talk to us and say, all right. Oh, that's, I never would have thought of that. You know, thank you, character A, character B, for, you know, giving us that unusual insight that made the, and it shows up in the reviews, because people say, I've never would have expected some of those twists and turns, and that's really kind of what the characters give us.
I always say that, too, when I see, you know, trademark Lisa Kessler twist in the reviews, and I think nobody was more surprised than me. When those characters do that, I'm like, wow, I was surprised.
you tell that story to somebody who doesn't write, and they go, excuse me, what?
Yes.
I'm glad you appreciate the statement, because it's most gratifying.
Yeah, right? That's what makes writing super fun. Do you guys have any plans for other genres? It sounds like you did techno thrillers and now you're doing cozy mysteries. Do you have some other genres you guys want to tackle?
Well, in the short story universe that we've done, we've got 11 of them out there. I've got one, historical fiction, which is actually we actually had somebody say, where did your cyber good guys come from? This R group, and so we said, let's bring them into the character universe and show where they came from, and this is where all the modern day stuff happens. So we've got that. We've got some a couple of cyber freebooters that gals that are trying to put themselves through college. So we've got some romance, women's contemporary, short stories. A lot of them are I'll admit, they're backstories for the main series, but they help us branch out and take a sample of some of the areas where it's like, okay, what about this? Here's the World War II one. Here's the contemporary fiction. Here's a mystery. Here's a suspense. Here's a whatever. And so it gives us a chance with the short stories to experiment. Well, at the same time, we're building a character universe that's got depth.
No, I like that. So what is next for you guys? This book's coming out in a couple weeks, but what are you guys working on now? What's next?
Well, the new series, the first 12-book series is called the Enigma Book Series. The second series is called The Enigma Heirs. So as you'd understand, people age, they retire. But invariably, you have the next generation that you've been educating, mentoring, teaching to take over the business, and that's what the Enigma Heirs is. That, all of the old guard is transitioned to a comfortable easy chair and late afternoon adult beverages of their choice, and the new generation is now in control and trying to carry the mantle forward. And It's an interesting exercise because you always wonder, did I give them enough information? Did I teach them everything that they'll need to know to be successful? Is it possible that I can do more? And the answer really is no, you can't. All you can do is teach them to think, because they will never be able to tell them everything that they're going to run into. If you can do that, then, I also want the lotto ticket numbers too. So, they're going to stumble, and that's kind of what the Enigma Heirs is about, is a new generation taking over. They're young, quit smart, but they're seeing stuff that nobody's ever seen, and they're up against some of the craftiest villains that we've ever assembled. So book number two in the Enigma Heirs series should premiere first quarter of next year, March, April timeframe. Yeah, it's going to be called The Enigma Forced, and it's going to have some, we're doing a lot of research. We do research on all of our books just to make sure that it's technically correct, and, we're not, coming up with bogus statements that don't make any sense. So, but it's a lot of it's going to have, we'll have some issues with human trafficking. We're going to have some issues with the import of illegal narcotics, and it's... It needs to be woven together so that it's interesting, and fight the good guys versus the bad guys. This is what is the heart of all the stories that we write. So, how do you get above the bad guys? Is all the fun in how you create a fan, an interesting story.
Yes, and speaking of that, can people read this story that comes out in 2 weeks, The Killer Enigma? Can they start there, or do they need to go back and read them from the beginning?
We strive really hard to make sure each book is a standalone, and all of the books in the Magnolia Bluff series are standalone. You pick up if you just pick one up now, they're all seriously great reading. But they do borrow some characters back and forth. The Enigma book series, same thing. They're all written as standalone novels for a threat that's uncovered, fought with, and then resolved by the end of the book. But the characters are going to evolve. Yeah, they're richer if they're read from the beginning to end. But it's not fair to write something and say, here's a cliffhanger. And you got to get the next book, or go back and pick up the one before, because you'll never understand what's going on. I find that unconscionable. So that's not fair.
Well, that's good to know. So anyone who's listening who hasn't read the series yet, you should be able to grab The Killer Enigma and not be lost, which is always good to know, especially since you've got, this is book 16, right, in that series?
Right. That's right, yeah. And again, it's a... it's part of the series, but it's from Brakefield and Berkey's point of view. It's the story that's self-contained, But we're going to be bumping up against characters that will appear in other novels as well. So it will have
nice.
A familiarity to it, but there's no dependency. Oh, I didn't read the book 4. Oh, shoot, I got to go back and get that. No, none of us do that.
But all of us authors secretly hope that you will, that you'll go, oh, my gosh, what's that character's story, and go back and get the whole series.
Well, we're up against some very great writers, I'll wager that we have some excellent talent for readers' entertainment, and they're all going to have a different flavor. So, you may have some that you like better than others, but I promise you they're all standalone, because we've read all of them, and to be able to keep track of some of the characters and some of the character activity. Because we imported some of that into our book as well, for the bank president and his domineering wife is one, that was, they were actually introduced in book number 1. So, pull forward a lot of the different character information to make sure that it's day 1, day 2. I mean, you're getting different perspectives of the city. But they're all encapsulated for that particular book.
All right. How much of you is in the cyber team?
I guess it's fair to say that there's a chunk of me in just about all the characters.
okay.
I have high confidence that Rox Burkey would say the same thing, That makes it easy for the number of people we've met, the number of places we've gone. She's done consulting work in Japan, done consulting work with me in Brazil, and we've worked all over. So a lot of that the international flavor really
right.
comes from us having done a lot of that and seen some of these places, which gives it that extra spice, I believe. Am I one of the cyber villains? Well. To be honest, I have to put myself into their shoes to figure out, if I'm a really awful person, what would I do on this particular scenario? And sometimes we surprise ourselves, and sometimes the things that we postulate come true.
Right. Sometimes we do tap into that super conscious up there and go, oops.
Yeah. Yeah, we in book number 10 of the Enigma book series, a cryptocurrency. We had postulated that Venezuela would have to have their own cryptocurrency because of the way that they trashed their economy. And doggone it, if they didn't go and do that just before I had the book released, it just went slow. That's the spooky part, is when stuff you fictionalized and it comes true. Like, whoa,
right.
No kidding.
Right. Yikes. Well, we are quickly running out of time, but I wanted to find out if you are, running contests, or are you on social media? How should readers get connected with you?
Well, if you'll go to our website, which is enigmabookseries.com, there's actually a rafflecopter application up there. So any review that anybody will write and publish on the usual suspects, and then give us a link and put that into the rafflecopter, you can be in the drawing for a $25 gift certificate every month.
Oh, nice. Oh, I saw there was a list of winners. I wondered what that was for.
Yeah. And there's some free stuff out there for the people that are worried about their cybersecurity. That's part of us giving back to the community. So there's some free stuff out there. And our newsletter, happy to put you on that. You can keep track of us all the time.
Great. So everyone, there is a link right there on the Blog Talk site if you're listening live or listening later. So give that a click and you can sign up for their newsletter so you never miss a new book that's coming out. And be sure to go and pre-order The Killer Enigma. It will be out August 19th. And thanks so much for being here, Charles. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you, Lisa. Much appreciated.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Good luck with the new release.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks for joining us on Book Lights. be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.